Welcome to Cashing In on Content Marketing. Each week, marketing experts will explain how to measure your content marketing results and communicate that value to stakeholders. I'm your host, Fractal Marketing Director, Amanda Milligan. This week, we're going to talk about how content impacts brand growth. And to do that, I'm very pleased to be joined by an entrepreneur and digital marketing strategist who has founded and grown 8 companies, including the popular Mailshake. He's a highly respected marketer and speaker, and honestly, I'm psyched to chat with him. Welcome to the show, Sujan Patel.
Thank you for having me. I'm pumped to talk about today's topic because I think it's definitely under, not necessarily utilized, but people don't leverage this enough.
I agree, and I think people might know that it's important, but they don't actually know how to execute it for themselves. So hearing from your experience, I think will be really useful.
Awesome.
So just to start, I feel like when I talk to people like you who have so much experience that I don't even know where to begin sometimes, but I think I'm personally interested to know how you've changed your perspective of content just throughout the different companies you've worked at. So what have you learned from those experiences? And how has your perspective shifted on how useful content can be when it comes to brand growth?
Yeah, I think I've been doing SEO content for such a long time. I think I've used it from, if you remember back in like the early 2000s, like the Blend Tech, Will It Blend, component to try to get people, companies, clients, customers, or myself, some PR, some SEO value to rank for something. It's kind of changed from like trying to get, say something spicy, create something, some piece of content that can get awareness, to infographics for link bait, to stats to get, to be like an authority in the space, to just building massive content. I guess using content to build massive just awareness or traffic to a site that a lot of times in my early days didn't ever convert. I mean, I built, I think at 4 or 5 different companies, built up traffic to, using content. So like content that ranks pretty much primarily SEO driven, but like the intent to purchase isn't there, or they're not like not very intent based kind of content pieces, and had seen no impact on revenue to, learning that the hard way to figure out how to create content that's a little bit more in line with like buyer intent and or the right persona, so taking those taking those things into consideration, and then as well as like what are things that can build like thought leadership for a brand, but also what can you do to build the brand as well, right? And so when you think about all these things combined, it's like it's fairly hard to say I want to create a content strategy that does it all. And so don't get me wrong, you have to compromise, and there are compromises in many different ways. You just have to really figure out, I guess, what your content purpose is and then where it's going to go.
Yeah, when you say content purpose, are you talking about individual pieces of content, or is that just like the overall strategy of what am I trying to achieve here with content marketing?
I think I'd say the overall strategy here, it's a little bit of both, right? Like the strategy indicates the tactical pieces of content that you may need to create to actually achieve that result. But I really mean on a strategy level, it's like, okay. And by the way, that strategy can change every 3 to 6 months. So, my team and now we're fairly sophisticated. I say, hey, look, we'll break things up into quarters. Like, what do we want to achieve this quarter, right? Like, do we want to try to build up our brand? And we want, like, what's the outcomes we want? Do we want to just build up the massive traffic funnel? And then, or is it, do we need more middle of the content, like middle of the funnel kind of buyer, a little bit more buyer intent? Do we need more awareness? Do we want to use this to kind of build up our brand? So we have a goal, right? And I'll say that like the earlier you are, the less sophisticated it needs to be. And it really is a matter of like getting traffic and just getting out there, right? Getting awareness. If you have no content, don't overthink it. Like create content. I don't care what it is. Just do it at a regular cadence, weekly, monthly, biweekly, daily, whatever you can kind of muster up. that would be then uniquely valuable content, like something that, how can you stand out? You can get those things, just start creating content. And as you start creating, the next step is to figure out what the premise or the purpose of the content is. Like, what's the thing it's going to do for you? And when you don't have traffic, you can't really say, I want to build my brand, because it's just too far away from happening. But if you look at a good example of companies like content who have helped them build their brand is WordStream, right? Like WordStream, they're just massive, massive content like engine, right? I mean, meaning like their content generates traffic. But if you look at how it's built their brand, if you look at I just analyzed their whole backlink profile and what I found is they actually get quite a bit of press. No surprise, right? Larry Kim writes for all these publications. Actually, it's not from that. It's not from Larry Kim writing for Inc. and saying he's a CTO of WordStream. It's actually from being listed, like being a source of record. So like when Bloomberg writes an article on like Google AdWords CPC inflation or like people, boycotting Facebook, WordStream gets like a press mention or somebody from their company is quoted in there. So like that's a way to build their brand. And then I looked at like what they're being quoted for, and it looks like they're always being referenced when it comes to a stack or state of industry change, right? So like people boycotting Facebook, they got referenced. XYZ stats changes. Okay. So then like if you look at that outcome and you think about what did they do to get there, well, obviously they must have been doing some PR. Turns out they created a lot of content and they built a brand around publishing stats on what's happening in the AdWords space, like in the ad tech space. And they just built a brand of that. All that PR that they get is a good outcome based off of that. So that's what I mean by building a brand. Like, they build a lot of content. They create a lot of content. They build a content machine that generates a massive amount of traffic and probably a lot of signups. But like, if you look into the details, they chose intentionally around the stats and details. I mean, industry changes in the ad tech space to then correlate to getting PR.
And the concept of authority is so interesting to me because it's clearly so important, but difficult to measure. And it does compound everything else. Like you're saying, like you can't become that type of person or brand that is referenced in these news articles if you haven't already established yourself as somebody that even news publications can trust, right? So I feel like it can get really overwhelming for marketers sometimes to know where to start. And it's interesting that you say, like, if you have nothing, it's just, you just got to get started and be producing something consistently and getting your stuff out there. How do you recommend people start prioritizing after that? So if they're like, what should they be checking to see if it's working for them? Maybe they've done that first step of, okay, I have content out there. I'm talking about stuff I know about and I'm not really sure what to target next. Should they examine the funnel and see where they have weaknesses there, or what's your strategy for that?
Yeah. So look, I think my approach is, so these are all very hard things to measure. And they also are very long. It's very long game focused, like not monthly, quarterly. I'm talking years, like decades. Right. So, and I say that because it takes a long time to build that. Right. And like using content to build your brand authority is two things. Creating the right content. Okay, let's just assume enough trial and error. Somebody, an intelligent marketer, can figure that out. Plus time and consistency, right? So if you publish content consistently, over some freaking time, it's either you're gonna stop doing it or it's gonna work and you're gonna continue doing the right things, right? So I say this because if you look at like guys like Rand Fishkin, Neil Patel, those two guys, I think, is a really good timeline of like they've just done it for such a long time. And it's just they've got the rep that they have because they've done it for such a long time. And I know like a lot of folks in the digital marketing world hate or love Neil, and that's fine. I think whatever, but he's got a strategy and he's just leveraging the crap out of it, right? And he's building his authority that way, right? And if you measure his like if you measure his brand and Rand's brand over the course of like the last, in over the course of 20 year periods, of which like we're in the second, like so 2 decades of which we're in the second decade, you'll see just like consistently rising references to their brand volume, right? And so you're thinking, okay, like how do I repeat that? How do I build that authority? And what does authority, how do you measure what authority is? Well, I'll tell you what I've done and how I've measured it. One is opportunities coming. So let's talk about that, like the finite authority value. Number of brand mentions without you doing anything, right? Your brand, your company, your name gets referenced without you doing anything, squat. Two, number of opportunities coming at your door, inbound, right? So like think about people just linking to you without doing anything, or like pinging you for a quote. That's great. Giving you podcast interview opportunities like this, right? Like inbound, maybe customers coming through the door. Another, again, very tangible revenue-based one that you can obviously account for. Maybe it's VC, if you're a startup and you want VC funding, because you built a brand, people, VCs know you are more trusted and they're coming inbound. You know, so there's those types of things that can come in, and then, or it's straight traffic and that traffic converts at this XYZ funnel, right? And so there's a lot of different ways you can measure it, but I think I look at all of those, right? And mm-hmm. I look at, like, I do something for a quarter or 6 months and I say, I wanted to first drive traffic. Okay, now I want to drive more inbound, you know, podcast interviews. Well, you know, did it do that next 6 months? Did me doing that work, right? So I think it's just really about measuring, looking at all the things you can measure. And I could tell you from 2014 to now, I've been actively building my brand. And the more I blog, the more opportunities I get to blog, the more I speak at a conference, every conference I speak at, the first five were really hard. But after that, every conference I spoke at, I got another opportunity. So it was almost like me speaking at conferences helped me speak at conferences, right? Same mm-hmm. thing on the content front. More content you create that's really awesome on stats gets you more people knocking on your door asking you about stats, right? So it's like eventually you end up kind of leading people to you based off your actions. And it's hard. It takes a while to get there.
Yeah. It sounds like first you have to figure out what you're going to be or what makes sense for you to be an authority in, right? And then like as a company, what you stand for, what you want to talk about, producing that content consistently over time. And then having, it sounds like you're talking about like more specific goals. So you can have like kind of nebulous goals, like I want to be an authority, but how do you actually put that into action? And like you said, if you can break it down into, okay, I'm going to have a podcast, right? And my goal is to get as many new subscribers as possible or to get as many guests as possible, then that can make it a little bit more manageable than attacking it from like 50 different angles. Is that the case?
Yeah. And then one more thing I want to just add about that is that you also have to think about, when you think about how you're going to get there, you also have to think about like, what can you do at whatever time you start that's just different than what's out there? How do you stand out in whatever time you start, right? And I'll tell you that like the later you start, the harder it is to stand out, right? Like,
right.
I mean, again, if you look at Neil's site and Rand's content, they've done it for a long time. They produce a lot of good content, but it's not like, if you look at their content now and you say, does it stand out from the crowd? I'd say no. It's just like SEO tips to do blah, blah, blah. Like maybe the content tips are unique, but like you look at that title versus all the other SEO tips published by everyone else, it's not unique. It is unique because people think they're the first, they have the reputation for it. Mm-hmm. They might have been the first one to publish that piece of content. And again, they have the brand and the credibility just to get the benefit of the doubt.
How do you recommend, so if people are kind of late to the game, if they know they have competitors that are just, they've been around longer, they already have that established authority, how do you recommend they kind of figure out how they can differentiate in a meaningful way through their content?
Think about different formats. So like if everyone's doing written content, do a podcast. If everyone's doing podcasts, do freaking Instagram lives or Instagram stories, right? Just Think about different mediums as a form. Think about different formats. Everyone's writing long form content. Well, freaking after like 10 years of reading long form content, I just want to get to the point. Like, just tell me the freaking point. Like, if you look at all the recipe sites, like I mean, obviously with COVID, I've been cooking a lot and staying home. And mm-hmm. I just read this like long intro blurb of why some person's recipe is awesome. And it's all SEO content before they get to the actual freaking recipe.
Right. Well,
that's annoying as an end user. That is freaking annoying. I know it gets good SEO value, but like it's to the point where every single recipe has this long intro. Well, what if now you take the contrarian approach of like, let's just get to the freaking recipe quickly, right? And then maybe you have a video, maybe you have Instagram stories. So like now it's okay, you have a recipe. Yeah, there's 1,000 other articles on how to cook chicken parmesan, but yours is short to the point. You have a video supporting it. You have maybe GIFs on it each step of the way. Now you've just got a little bit of details inside of the actual content that as a whole, with all the 3-4 things you've got that are unique to it, make it stand out to be different enough. And so again, it's like medium, but in this case, it's taking the contrarian approach and then using mediums like images or GIFs or a little bit of like the format, a channel, like, I guess it's a medium, like social, like Instagram, to embed in there as a way to be different. So each individual thing may not be different enough, but a little bit of difference combined is what makes you different. So I think it's kind of just combination of like thinking outside the box. And then again, trying to forge your kind of own unique way for a portion of it, right? So like, for example, Mailshake, we have there's like so much people publishing content in this space. We've got these video series that we do. And there's lots of sales content out there. Like Mailshake is mostly sales kind of audience, sales customers, salespeople are our customers and audience for the most part. And we've taken an approach of like, we're just going to interview practitioners, like sales practitioners. And we've got a video series and I force all of my guests on this video series to be under 10 to 15 minutes, like 15 minutes max. I aim for 10 minutes. We talk about a very specific topic so that like whoever listens to it, watches it, reads the blog post that it's embedded in can like take away one action item. It's not like this fluff piece. And we get practitioners. So our unique take is, we're only going to interview practitioners. That's all we go for, right? And so, look, it's pretty new series. Maybe we don't really have a good rep yet or like a brand established for this video series. But like our take in a very crowded sea of sales content is short form, 10, 15 minutes, very specific topic, and only sales practitioners.
Right.
I'll tell you in a year or two if it works. So, yeah, and again, sometimes you don't know if it's going to work. But so like, how are we going to measure if this works? I'm looking at every month. Do we get more traction on this? I'm looking at, do people embed our videos? How much traffic does our, obviously how many views and how much traffic does our videos get? That's the basic one. Looking at people embedding it. I'm looking at conversations started on social engagement on our videos, right? It may just get shitty traffic. Like my YouTube, I have a YouTube channel. And I mean, my videos get like 300 views. It's pathetic. Like it's not worth the effort I put in and the cost it takes me to get 300 views. I can just write a blog post and get 300 views way easier. Or I can even write a guest post and get 3,000 views somewhere else, right? But the 300 views get like 15 email conversations started from that. So like it's crap for like traffic and views, but it's amazing for the amount of engagement I get. And so some of those are like, someone's like, oh, like becomes a customer and they email me or like they're on the list. So it's, to me, I look at the videos as bottom of the funnel content. And so anyways, my point is I didn't intend to go do it as bottom of the funnel content. That was a repercussion of that was an outcome, I guess. So think about that. And sometimes they align, sometimes they don't.
Yeah. When you're measuring the results, are you basically doing it by trial and error against other things that you've done? Or do you set certain expectations when you embark on something new?
I've always got some certain expectations. Like I want X to do Y, right? Like I'm doing this and my goal is that. Now that doesn't always happen is my point, right? Like I'd say I think my success rate somewhere probably like 50-60% of what I intend to do actually I achieve. So yeah, I mean, I think part of that is a little bit based off of the how aggressive I am. So like my goal, like because I've had some success, my goals are like through the roof now, right? Like, so I want to double traffic to our site, and that's like, that's really freaking hard. So I'm including that in my 60% success. Or a lot of times, you know, we've created like massive content of traffic through content and just never converted. And like, oh yeah, I see why we missed that. We should probably just done more research. And so, you know, now my approach to content strategy is like, okay, is there buyer intent? Where are we going to be unique? Is this thing, can we do this for like 3 to 5 years? Like, well, can we do this for a year and still be unique without running out of content? Maybe we just put a layer of content that is not unique, not the buyer intent, to build up traffic in the brand. And that's the case. You know, I think I look at a little bit branding from an SEO perspective of like, if I get more branded references and people read more traffic to the site, my SEO rankings improve for other keywords kind of linearly to the same curve of my other traffic. So I look at it from like, does this branding exercise help my SEO rankings too? So lots of different ways to kind of slice up the returns you can get from content from, mm-hmm. from brand.
Mm-hmm. I noticed on the Mailshake site that it wasn't just a blog in the footer. That's pretty typical. There were all these other content pieces. There's a cold email academy and a masterclass and, you know, a strategy and an email copy analyzer. How were these ideas determined? Was it basically assessing what salespeople needed help with and then just providing it because it hasn't been done before? Is it speaking to kind of what we've been talking about in this conversation, or did something else come into play?
Yeah, it's actually three pieces, right? So let's like from like, there's not really an order of like priority here, but it's a pain point or something our customers can get value from, like a lot of them, right? So like a lot of our content, like email copy analyzer, a lot of like our guides are like literally things we see in our customer support, or like when we talk to customers, or like, you know, at every one of our companies, I'm pretty freaking immersed in like engaging with customers. And sometimes it's not me like being the person actually talking to customers, but like I'm in the back end, like talking to our success or support people to get kind of the, like, I might not be the voice, but I'm definitely the ear, you know, where it's going into. So that, and so I'm understanding their problems. I'm understanding like their pain points, like as an individual, like a sales rep. Number two is what the pain points of our potential customers are, right? Like the people we want to target. And then three, search volume, unique opportunity, you know, something that can get us, you know, some ammo. So the perfect, this is kind of like a Venn diagram, and nothing is going to meet every one of the requirements, but the more all three of these fit, the better it is. And mm-hmm. I think if you get only the latter part, like just, oh, it's unique and I can kind of get traffic and whatever, but you don't get that it fits my potential customers or fits my existing customers' problems, then you end up getting traffic, but you don't get the connection to the brand, or or you might build authority, but you're not achieving authority to the right audience, right? Which mm-hmm. again might nullify the thing. And these are all pieces that, again, you know, I always try to create linkable assets. I know it's kind of like a buzzword, but yeah, I mean, that's always kind of like, how do we do that? How do we do more of that? So like they generate links long-term, and then also always try to create content that can have some part of a role in the funnel, right? And I always try to be aware of where that sits in the funnel. It's okay if it's at the very bottom of the funnel, meaning you're not going to get a lot of traffic, or it's at the very top, but you don't want to fool yourself into thinking it's at the top when it's really at the bottom, because that's how you fail. And that's how you end up like creating a piece that no one sees. Mm-hmm. Because it would never have been seen, because it's like a bottom of the funnel piece, you know? Right. Or, you know, I think I see a lot of content sites, and especially newer sites, they talk about themselves a lot. And if you look at Mailshake, I don't know, if you look at just, you know, you can call us out and take a look at the last 2 or 3 pages of our blog. I think you'll hear us talk about ourselves maybe 2 blog posts and their case studies. And it's like kind of a coincidence that they're published at that date, right? Doesn't mean they're promoted at the same time. So we're not talking about ourselves because nobody gives a crap. Like, our content's top of the funnel. Like nobody cares. It's like, if we're talking about ourselves, it wouldn't be a top of the, it wouldn't do well top of the funnel. But then there are definitely places that we maybe interject, like, some call to action, or maybe we interject our product screenshot, you know, so there might be like slightly talking about ourselves. Some blog posts talk a lot about ourselves, like our case studies, like, duh, it's going to talk about us. Well, that's because that's a bottom of the funnel piece, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's like, be smart of, like, I guess in content in general, your content is promoting your brand. Inside the content doesn't need to like word vomit everything about your company.
Mm-hmm.
Because it hurts you.
Yeah. No, it's definitely an intricate balance of things, even with each piece of content. You know, you can add some elements of these different things there, but you need the core objective of what you're trying to do to make sure you're reaching that right audience. What do you think, just to start wrapping the episode up, do you think are some of the most common missed opportunities for brands when it comes to content? What do you think that people are overlooking a lot of the time?
They're overlooking the simple, does this piece of content or does what I'm doing add value to the world, to like the industry, to the whatever, right? Like whatever size brand it is, right? Like, is it an add value and is it unique? I think those are kind of in parallel. I think that's very much a missed opportunity. People see, and then number two is people see other brands or other things, other sites, other companies doing stuff, and they assume one really false assumption that it's working for them. I'm like, that don't assume it's working. Like doesn't mean like what if I just gave you that WordStream example and you talk to the head of marketing and it's like, yeah, our content is good for our brand, but it does jack shit for our customers. We actually grew through word of mouth and PPC. Like, you could hear my whole rant on that, how awesome of a job they did, and it could be wrong, right? So like, I could be wrong, as well as what you see when you analyze their stuff could be wrong, right? And so I'd say, don't assume everything is working. Use all the examples you see as influence. And that's why when I go and do a very important step of when you come up with content is, if you're going to steal your competitor's idea, or like not steal, maybe take influence from somebody doing something cool, talk to the potential customers, talk to their customers that they have maybe reviews on or something like that, to see if that actually did influence whatever they did, or whatever you think they did awesome, if it actually did influence their stuff. I can't tell you, you know, probably between 2014 and 16, I created a lot of content. I was working at a company. I won't name the company, but you can pretty much figure it out from my LinkedIn. We created a lot of content and we did a lot of stuff to really fuck with our competitors just to throw stuff out there, and they would copy us. But I'm like, it was all wrong. Like, I was like, I spread intentionally misinformation because they kept stealing our landing pages. Oh, and wow. So, yeah. And so it's just like, you know, don't believe everything you read. Try to come to the conclusion yourself.
That's a really great point that I've never heard anybody say before, because I do think that so many people take for granted that just because somebody's doing something, that means that it's working. And probably if it's been like a long time, maybe, but yeah, I mean, so much of marketing is testing anyway. You don't know that that's achieving the goal that you think it is, or that's like a fascinating point to make.
Yeah. I mean, like you could take, like, you could take people who are like, you know, actually, I'll give you a really good example. Neil, right? So Neil Patel obviously has so much content on the web, one of the top like traffic marketing sites, but yeah, and he has an agency, right? And you'd think he has so much traffic, and you see his website promote his agency and consulting and emails, you would just gather that his traffic and leads are coming from his website. But I know firsthand from, you know, I talk to him fairly regularly once a month, and we share updates and whatnot, but I know firsthand they come from somewhere else. And so, you know, his best leads come from referrals and word of mouth and other people he's worked with. So like, causation is marketing people's and content marketers' like worst enemy.
Yeah.
Or correlation. Like, that problem is a conundrum, and it's, unfortunately, hard to decipher what's working. So you have to kind of I'd say you have to come to the conclusion yourself and figure it out. And I know that sounds really negative or like, oh my God, like, how am I going to figure that out? The reality is you don't actually need to figure out fully, but just think if I plant the seed in your head that like, not everything you read on the internet is true, you'll not believe everything on the internet, right? And so it's like, not everything you see that looks like it's working is actually working. You know, people will start to actually think for themselves and find some, what I would say, leading indicators of working or not working. And that's as far as you're probably going to get without talking to like the company itself.
Yeah, I love that. It's an excellent point. So, Jen, knowing the objective of the show, who do you recommend to be guests on future episodes?
I don't know. I think there's, I would say, Benjamin Beck or Jonathan Dane from Client Boost. Those are folks that I think they do a really good job on the content marketing front and brand building and marketing front for an agency. I mean, you know, how many digital marketing agencies are there? I would say their brand kind of stands out pretty unique. And then I'd probably have to look to get more folks kind of to think about it a little bit more.
Yeah, no worries. I appreciate it. But thank you so much for taking the time to come onto the show and to share your experience and your insight.
Yeah, my pleasure. It was fun. I really like this topic because I think it's just not talked about enough. And hopefully I didn't rant too long.
No, please. It was all fascinating. So I appreciate it.
For more insights and exclusive resources on how to justify content marketing, join our email newsletter by going to frac.tl, clicking on our work, and then podcast. See you next week.